Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer, and comedian, Emily Winter, and I'm back from Europe, and it is August, and that is very exciting because it means spooky season is right around the corner. So I'm putting a call out. If you are a creative type or you know a creative type with a ghost story, your own real paranormal experience, reach out to me. You can hit me on Instagram. I still have a few messages to reply to there. We have the Comedians with Ghost Stories Instagram, and I'm at Emily MC Winter. You could also email me at emcwinter@gmail.com if you have a ghost story that you would like to talk to me about on this podcast, because I am so excited to get into the fall and the spooky stuff, and I want to hear your story. Okay, great. I hope you enjoy this wonderful episode. Today on the podcast, I'm very excited to have Abigail Elias. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm so excited. And I just met you in Pittsburgh where you did One Liner Madness. So thank you for doing that. And yeah,
it was
so
a lot of fun.
We were just talking before the pod started that it is insane to me. There are two Abigail Eliases doing comedy in Pittsburgh, and you go by Abigail and she goes by Abby. And it is, that is just, it's just because it's not a common name. It's just wild.
No, it's not. And it's weird because my family changed our name when we came over, like when we were fresh off the boat, because apparently, so Elias is a more Middle Eastern name. Like I think Abby is Lebanese, okay. But my family is like Ashkenazi Jewish. So apparently our last name was Elevich before we, you know, hopped on over, but it was apparently easier to sound Middle Eastern than it was to sound Russian. I guess it was scarier at the time that we had come over to sound Jewish or Russian.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just didn't understand us and they were down funny. Who knows?
And they were just like, this is what you get.
That my grandpa said. Yeah, wow. Like, here, enjoy.
Fascinating, fascinating. Are you from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so my family isn't, but I was born and raised here.
And are your ghost stories, are they Pennsylvania ghost stories?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. All right, so you've got more than one. Take it away.
Yeah. Thankfully, they're like short-ish. So I work in a hospital. Like I work in the ICU. I'm a critical care tech, which is just like someone who like wipes butt for a living. But before I did that, I worked at something called patient transport. So that's like, if you were ever in the hospital and you like needed to go somewhere, the person who took you was a transporter.
Okay.
Like we would just push people and equipment around all day. And in this hospital, it's a local one. It has like 900 beds, two hospitals put together. They have two, what's called bed storages. So that's where you put beds for storage. So it has stretchers, wheelchairs, all this stuff. But like I said, it was two different hospitals put together. The bed storage in the one hospital was actually a morgue before they combined the two hospitals.
Okay.
And you could always feel that it felt like really, really creepy. The further you walked back, the more you could feel like the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And it just got very, very strange. Like the cooler was still back there, like in the way back. And they just kept paint buckets in there for maintenance.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
I always thought that it was like a morgue. And so I Googled it and I found some old lady's blog from like 2011. And she had worked there when Montefiore was still Montefiore. And they put a gym above it, like above the cooler, like in the area. So one night at like 3 a.m., me, stupid, white, dumb, I was like, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to go up there and see what that gym is. Because I've always seen doctors, like just like big ortho bros going back there and working out. And they'd look at me like I was insane for cleaning a wheelchair. But they were like, what are you doing down here? My job, bitch. Do yours. And
So like just to recap, there is like a secret hidden gym above this former morgue.
Yeah. Shit, you not. You can take an elevator or you can take the stairs.
And that was not something that they told you about when you started working there.
No, it wasn't. The hospital I worked for was like not so great. I don't work for that company anymore, but I do love that job. I switched departments and I hated my new department. It's a whole thing. But I went up there and it's like a building that it was shaped like an L. So you get off the elevator and you look down one hallway and it's just like equipment, and you look down the other hallway and it's the gym. So I go to the gym and apparently I don't have badge access, which sucks, but it was just like a Peloton in there. It was really boring.
Okay.
And I looked down the other hallway and it was really cold. So like when I was going up the elevator stopped and it like shook. And I was like, oh, I'm so dumb. I'm going to die up here. And I went up there and I was like, oh, the gym's underwhelming. And I turn and I look and I see like there's a door at the end of that hallway and it's like a frosted glass. Mm-hmm. And I had seen like the outline of like a man. And so at first I was like, oh, what is that like housekeeper doing standing behind the glass? And then I realized it was the apparition of a man in front of the glass. And I had been like, it felt really dark. Like you always felt like someone was watching. I screamed.
You
I
screamed.
screamed. Yeah. And I ran down the stairs. I didn't even take the elevator. I didn't wait for that. I ran down the stairs and I ran away. And the morgue was a little haunted there too.
So this was like above the morgue where you saw this guy. And what do you think? Who do you have any ideas about? Like, did you tell anyone? And do you have any ideas about who that was or what that was?
I don't know. I don't think it was anything dark, thankfully, but I do know that like you could always tell that like, it was the more even the morgue at this hospital always felt like a waiting area, like a liminal space. Like it never really felt like something was like trying to get you. Except like sometimes you could always tell when there was like a trauma that had I worked at a level one trauma center, which means it's a lot of gunshot wounds, a lot of like, bad accidents where not everybody lived. And you could always tell when one of those happened, not only because of the massive transfusion alert on the intercom, but the morgue would feel different. Like if they didn't live.
Whoa. So the morgue that was actually just a storage space, or was it when it was still a morgue?
The actual just regular morgue. I'm sorry, I should have clarified.
Okay, so the regular morgue, not the storage area, would feel different if somebody had just passed from a level one trauma.
Yeah, like a traumatic incident, yeah.
What
It
did
was
it feel
angry.
like?
It was felt like very heavy and angry. Like you always felt like you were being watched. Like because we would transport not only included the transport of living people, it also unfortunately included the transportation of dead people, like from the wherever they were and then to the morgue. And sometimes like and you couldn't do that job alone, quote unquote. You had to have a partner, like for legal reasons and just because it's fucking creepy down there. And I went down there one time and I typically don't have like I'm a big girl, but I went down there and I was like, it never really felt scary to me. It was kind of cool, it was calming. It smelled weird, but that was about it. But I went down there and it just felt like heavy and angry. And I was for the first time in my life in down there petrified. I had worked there for like 2 years. And it was terrifying. And I just wanted to get the cart, the special cart that we use for like transporting body bags and like to get the fuck out.
Did you find out what who had recently died and been moved to the morgue?
Probably not because of HIPAA. Sometimes I would ask around, but I didn't always, I wasn't that close with the ER nurses. But one time there was a oh goodness. Like I was waiting for my friend. This was the same night that it felt really spooky. There was like a couple of doors, like a metal cling that you like press, it goes press here to open. And it has that very distinct noise when it opens. I had heard that and I thought it was my friend Wes coming to help like with the morgue job. And I saw like a shadow under the door. And I thought, yeah, there's Wes. And I heard the clink of the door and the door opened. There's nobody there. And it wasn't like an automatic, like somebody could press it open from like inside or like outside. Like it just like something hit it,
Something
opened
hit
it.
it.
And I was like, ah. I was like,
So
holy shit.
I was just going to ask if your coworkers also had experiences and also believed.
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them didn't mess with the morgue because of how creepy it was. I know that, like, I mean, there was like haunted, a lot of nurses, a lot of hospitals are haunted, obviously. There's a lot of reasons why people pass away, and it's not always their first choice of something to do. It's not like they're on. Like when I worked in the I worked in the oncology unit, so I worked in cancer at a different hospital. There was bed 10 was haunted.
Wait, what do you mean? Like whoever was in that bed or what?
Someone so the room itself was like bed like the 10th bed in that hospital unit was haunted. And the call bell, doesn't matter who was in there, would always go off all the time. And you would see like shadows of people. And it was always really weird when like dementia patients would sundown because like you know, they're kooky when they're not really sure where they're at. But I saw this woman's call bell go off in bed 10. And I was like, and I didn't, I just hung up the phone and I went and I was like, hi, can I help you? She like grabs me by my scrub top. Like, I shit you not. And she goes, there's somebody in my room. And I was like, hello? Like, I was like, what do you mean? She's like, he's standing by the edge of the bed. Tell him to go away. And I, first of all, the first, I, an exorcism was not in my orientation packet, but the second thing is you can't even if like it really was a ghost or if it really wasn't, you can't if she has a history of like dementia, you can't like disregard someone's reality in that way because it will make them like go insane. You're like gaslighting somebody because their perception of reality is their reality. So I was like, I'll be right back. And I took like a flush, like a saline flush, and I said it was holy water. But towards the end of the bed, and it was really creepy, like it genuinely was. And I was like, oh, of course they put her in that room.
Oh, wait, so when you did the thing with the saline, did she was she satiated?
Yeah, she was, thankfully. I think she knew it wasn't holy water. I was like, this is all I got. It's salty, you know, like maybe it'll do
Yeah.
something.
Yeah, but it worked. And it
Yeah.
also just being believed can like alleviate some of that tension, which could be attracting the spirit, you know?
Yeah. My neighbor's house is haunted too, at my dad's
Really?
house. Yeah. So growing up, my dad lives in like a bougie, like rich white people neighborhood. And there was like this really weird woman who lived next door named Kathleen. And she would like cut her plants with a sickle. And like she was like kind of a hermit and she didn't really come out. She was a very strange woman.
Okay, it's really weird to cut your plants with a sickle. It's really weird,
It is.
right? That's weird. Okay.
Yes,
I mean,
100%.
I
She
don't
must
have
cut her.
plants, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like convinced her husband had like killed her plants by pouring poison on them, her ex-husband. Then the
Oh my
plants
God.
actually started to die in the same way that she said they would. So that was crazy. But she passed away like a year or two ago in the house, and nobody knew for like 2 or 3 weeks. It was really sad.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was like
Like,
the
was it
big
one of
shock.
those smell things? Who
Like it
found
was like a
her?
whole cleanup. Yeah. So actually, some she had friends, thankfully, who after a couple of weeks of her coming out, like not coming out, they called in for a welfare check. And unfortunately, she was not well. Sorry, I really do have dark humor, but this
It's
apparently
good.
her family didn't really claim her body. I don't know where she went after that, but nobody in her family wanted to claim her.
That's
And
so
some
fucking
other,
sad.
that is really sad. Like it was really depressing. And this new family bought the house and renovated it. And Kathleen is still in that house. Like when they were
How?
renovating, I was trying to find the picture. My sister sent it to me. In the live, you hear the radio. Or like you hear talking in the background. They were just taking, there wasn't even, so mind you, this was in the basement. They hadn't even gotten the electricity reset up. So like
Okay.
there's no way that anything is making any noise in that house. And you just hear
Okay.
talking, you hear the radio. And the dogs freak out all the time. Like we all have dogs. My dad has two goldens, and they have like a little yapper of some sort. They won't go in the house.
The dogs.
They freak out. They can't handle it.
Oh my gosh.
And like lights flicker and like things go flying.
So this is wild. And since you work in this in the industry and like the medical industry and you take care of people, I feel like you are a little bit closer to and a little bit more comfortable with death. You have to be, right? Because like you're around
Yeah.
it a lot. So what do you make of all of this? Like, what do you think all of this is?
So I think a lot of times, like, I, especially as someone who works in the ICU, I think a lot of times, depending on how long somebody keeps their family member alive when they shouldn't be, is like not very good. Like, I feel like sometimes a lot of like the stuff that me and my colleagues do is prolonging the inevitable. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, let's say someone's on two vasopressors, which is like when your blood pressure cannot sustain life, we put you on a medication that will raise it so it can. And that's technically like life support. That's a way to explain it as like end of life care, or like people who are just like, they won't ever have that same quality of life given back to them, even
Right.
after they've been sick. I think I feel closer to death because I understand it more. I think that, like I can kind of almost see where death is almost like merciful. And I don't, I haven't seen any ghosties at my current. My current position. That doesn't mean, and I work day shift though, so like they don't come out in the morning when the sun's up. But I don't know. I think
Do you see a lot of people pass away peacefully? Do they
yes.
fight? Okay.
Thankfully, I do see, obviously I've had, you know, resuscitations that I work on. I've seen people pass away. I actually even at an open mic I saw a man die. That was fucked up. We'll get into that. But
Holy cow.
yeah, I almost quit comedy, but I thankfully will put people on what's called CMO. So we talk to the family, we have a meeting, the social worker, the doctors, the nurses, like everybody kind of comes together, and we talk about the options and the goals of care. And so we say, hey, they're kind of not really getting to where we need to be. We're kind of just sustaining them, and they're not going to be like It's like I said, you're keeping somebody alive at, but they're not, very healthy. It's not very good
Right.
for them. You're delaying the inevitable. So we'll do something called that CMO, comfort measures only. So like we keep the monitor on and stuff to kind of like, no, we have to document all of that. But we stop all medications. So we stop things like vasopressors, antibiotics. We stop things, anything that could like make the patient uncomfortable. It's almost like hospice or like palliative care. So
Okay.
it's like morphine and oxygen, essentially. And that kind of just lets them go peacefully. We have a lot of patients who are like that. Most of our patients don't just like code and die. Like, thankfully, it's not really what it's like. But I have had a few that have, like, there's some people that, like, a lot of old people shouldn't be, like, once you're past like 70, we always try to talk to the family about what it means to be a full code, like doing CPR on somebody, intubating them, like doing all that stuff. It's very invasive. And when you're older, you can't really bounce back from that. Like you and I, if we had CPR done on, sure, it would break our ribs, maybe. It would, maybe pop along for a second, but you could fix that. There's like some, like we're young, we'll bounce back. But someone older, it wouldn't actually work out like all that much like that. Like they would have far, like so many more detriments. And that's something we always try to educate patients and families on, that you don't really want that. You don't want your 89-year-old peepaw to be cracked like a glow stick just for them to live for maybe one more year at the most, even.
And in pain, recovering from that for that whole year. That makes sense. Wow, this is crazy. Do you want to talk about the mic situation? What happened at
Oh,
the
yeah, that I think it followed me home. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was weird. So I was at like one of like the worst, dare I say worst. It's like a very interesting open mic in Pittsburgh. It's at Parkway Theater and Film Lounge in McKees Rocks, which is not the greatest neighborhood in the city. And I go there every Friday anyway. But I was doing my calculus homework, waiting to go up, and two other comedians, Asher and Georgia, they were like, "Hey, somebody just had a seizure on the bus and they're foaming at the mouth. Can you go look at them?" And I went, "What?" It's like, are they responsive? They're like, "No." So I grabbed my
Like a
purse.
city bus or something?
Yeah. Like right outside the place. And I grabbed my Narcan, I grabbed my pulse ox, like I was like, all right, let's go. Cause it's McKees Rocks. They're not having a seizure. They're dead. So that sounds really dark, but you'll see what I mean in a sec. So I get into the bus and he is foaming at the mouth, because when you pass away, like your mucus comes out of your mouth with the rest of your air. So it kind of bubbles out if you're like dead, dead. And I didn't get a pulse. I couldn't find one radially, like on his carotid or with my pulse ox. And I was like, I asked the people on the bus how he got onto the bus. Like, did he walk like he was high? Did he walk? So I didn't actually use my Narcan, but he didn't have a pulse and he wasn't breathing. So I was like, I should have used the Narcan because it
What's a
doesn't really help.
Narcan?
Narcan is like the antidote to an opiate overdose. I carry that everywhere I go, especially after this. But I told the people on the bus, hey, can we move him onto the ground, start CPR? Dude was like 400 pounds. And they're like, no. And I went, what do you mean? No, they're like, we're gonna hurt him. And I was like, you can't hurt a dead man. He's already dead. Please just get him on the ground. And they wouldn't like let me. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is, there's like a good Samaritan law in Pennsylvania, but a lot of people don't want to get sued. Or like they don't know. It's like, I'll start it. I will crack his ribs. Like, we'll get it going, but I can't move this man on my own. And I was getting like swatted away. And I like was still in my scrubs. I had just been like 2 hours before that, I was at work doing compressions.
So it's like you're clearly the best person to be taking care of this
Yeah.
man. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, no, we don't care. And I was like, okay. And I like fought back and forth, I think, for 5 minutes. And I was like, you know what? At this point, even if he survives, he like will not. It'll be lights are on, but nobody's home. So I
Right,
just
right,
kind
right.
of, there's too many neurological deficits at that point. So I kind of just left the bus and I just felt very heavy. I still did my set for some reason, but like the paramedics came. I know the paramedics came and like went, and you would see them, like I was on stage, like watching them do compressions from outside, and it was just really, really dark.
I
And
get
I
it though. I get wanting to perform because you don't know, you're just trying to go through your day and you're like, this
was
isn't going to affect me profoundly. And then you're like, oh shit, it did. Like
like,
that's
oh, that's
the
traumatic, actually. Which is weird. So, like, doing my job off the clock is far more traumatic than it is doing anything else. And like
Because
my
you're not
parents,
expecting it, right?
and Parkway's felt very different ever since.
So yeah, you said you
Maybe.
think he followed you home or like what happened after this? So he's obviously passed away. You see
Yeah.
all this happen. You see the, ambulance come and yeah.
Yeah. I
So
think they
then
were doing CPR for like 20, 30 minutes. They were not getting him back pre-hospital.
yeah. So
And it,
then after that, what happens?
I just felt like very heavy, and it's, I felt like I was being watched the whole night, and I cried for a long time. Like I don't normally cry like that. But my mom was an ICU nurse, my dad's a trauma surgeon. So like they, I called both of them, and I asked my mom, like, I figured since she was a nurse for 30 years, maybe something like that had happened to her. And she was like, no, I'm sorry, sweetie. That's never happened to me before. I'm sorry. And I just like cried harder. And I was like, okay. But I just felt like, I don't know. It just felt very heavy and not like in the way that you're like, oh damn, I just watched a guy die. It was very, very different. And Parkway kind of just feels different now as well. I'm not sure if they have seen anything haunted there. I doubt it. I haven't really asked, but
Do you think the
just very
heaviness is
spooky.
because you were the only one advocating for him and you picked up some of his energy, like desperate energy, will to live, because you were the only one trying to make it happen?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
What do you think the heaviness might be?
Because it doesn't, it sounds silly. I don't think the heaviness is any sort of guilt on my end, because
No,
I
no.
did what I, whatever I could do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, it wasn't enough, but like, you can't save everybody, and you can't, you know, that's something that's out of my control.
It's so sad though that you were the only one trying to help this guy.
Yeah, it was really sad. I was like, okay. And the cops were like really up my butt about it too. Like the guy, I was hoping I wouldn't have to talk to the police about it, to be honest with you. But the one guy who didn't do anything pointed to me, and I was like, yeah, these fuckers didn't help. I was like, I couldn't
Yeah.
find a carotid pulse. I couldn't find a, like a radial pulse. My pulse ox got nothing. They're like, and what do you do? And I'm like, still in my scrubs with my badge. I was like, I work in the ICU. I was like, this is just my fun Friday night. Like, and now it is no longer fun.
How long ago was this?
this was in last October.
Okay. And you still go every Friday and it still feels kind of difficult?
Spooky. Yeah. I don't go there
Yeah.
all the time because sometimes I'm just sleepy. But
Yeah.
but it is a very heavy space now. Like it's cute and it's fun, but like there's always something like right in the front, like in the very front of like the room. I just always feel like there's something heavy, like there's something like watching me,
Do
but I
you
don't know why
just,
in the front.
does anyone else, has anyone else said that they feel that way there? Or is this specific to you?
I think it's just, I haven't really talked about it. I feel like I don't want to sound crazy and woo-woo because I'm not, my intuition's been blocked recently, but I used to be pretty tapped in. So the things that I would say sound insane to other people.
What, how, why do you think your intuition has been blocked recently?
I think it's a mix of things. I think I need to cleanse my space. Like my room is a disaster right now. You can't tell from up here, but it is barren. I think a lot of things kind of, I've been kind of less grounded than I need to be. I feel like sometimes when I like burn myself out a little bit, is when I sort of lose a bit of my like intuition, my ability to kind of be not only in tune with myself, but like the world around me. I don't know if that's like autism or something else, but I don't know. It just feels like I'm like blocked here and here. That's what it feels
What,
like.
so when you are in touch with your intuition, what does that feel like to you?
I feel more able to read other people, their like other emotions. I feel more in tune to like the energies around me. Like when I worked at that other hospital with like the two put together when I was in transport, like that was very much a, I was more in tune with myself and like everything there too. Like I was tapped in. But I was also more, I practiced more often there too. Like I would like meditate and I would like do other things and like cleanse and all of that. But I think sometimes there's like a heavy, there's been like a heaviness around me recently, and I'm not entirely sure what it is. I don't know. There's stuff that you can do to cleanse yourself, but I have to make sure that none of them are closed practices. Like a lot of people, you can't use white sage. A lot of like egg cleanses or for like Mexican communities.
You just want to be careful that you're not like appropriating somebody else's
Yeah.
ritual.
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you do that? How do you make sure that you're cleansing yourself in a way that is not appropriating?
So a lot of times, like most in like indigenous practices or closed practices, a lot of like things like I think Santeria is closed practice. They're like I think if you just kind of stick with like pagan or I'm Jewish, so if I do like I don't want to say Kabbalah because I don't think it's necessarily that, but there's ways that like Jewish folk magic stuff like that. So typically when I do, I look for something that's like either Jewish or just like pagan, like something that's not like tied into any one sort of like minority group.
Okay. I like talking about the woo-woo stuff. I think spirituality and ghosts and just general woo-woo-ness is all, it's all in the realm of what we talk about on this
Yeah.
podcast. So.
I've had like I think my third eye is opening up again. Because I sometimes I'll have like really strange dreams where like they feel very lucid. Like I lucid dream or like I'll astral project in a dream or something, which is really crazy. Like I'll wake up and I once had a dream where I woke up right before like I was in a car accident and I was like a little girl who's in the car next to me and her hand was on my leg, like gripped it. I could still feel her hand on me when I woke up. And I
Whoa.
was like, yeah. And I felt like I was floating. Like I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm on my bed. And I
Whoa.
was like, oh, I'm not,
So
there's no one next to me.
if that happened to me, I would be trying to find this kid or like evidence of this car accident or something. Did you look for any, I mean, but I don't know how you do that really. Did you
Yeah,
look
I
for anything?
actually did. I didn't find anything that kind of mixed with it. Because what I thought I saw was like one of the ramps in Pittsburgh, like you get off the Veterans Bridge, like that's what it looked like. But
Okay.
it also looked a little different. It looked like an amalgamation of a few things in Pittsburgh. So of course I was like, oh, fuck. I can't actually look and Google it and see where the accidents were.
Man. Do you think it was real?
I've never thought about that before. That's terrifying. I don't know. That was like a year or so ago.
Like you are sort of more in touch than the average person, but you're still in a place where you're figuring out how to use this ability.
Yeah. I've always been like that since like I was a little kid, but I've been trying to get more in touch with it now as an adult.
Yeah.
Because I always like I don't think it's necessarily like full-blown psychic, but I do think I have like some sort of like clairvoyancy, I think is what it is.
Right. That's
I've
amazing.
yeah. I've been told that there's something called claircognizance, which is a clear knowing, is what that means. I've been told I probably have that. Like I can sense people like sometimes like if I don't know somebody's schedule like at work I know they're working that day or I know like they're in the building for some reason or
Okay.
I could tell like I pick up on things about people that wouldn't be typically noticed without someone like telling you or knowing stuff like I've like
Like, what's an example?
there was one time that this is kind of insane one time I said this when I was mad, but there was this one guy that I worked with and I worked in like restaurants who was like truly obsessed with me and he was like wouldn't leave me alone. It was very harassy. And then he was finally putting a move on me and I was like, dude, I know I remind you of your dead wife in the 90s, but I'm not that girl. Please leave me alone. I'm like 20 years your junior. Apparently, I did look like his wife in the 90s
Whoa.
who passed away.
Whoa. Holy shit. And you had no
Yeah,
idea before you
no
said that?
idea. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I was like, he just gives me that energy that I look like someone he used to date back in the day. Little did I know, I struck a nerve.
What did he do when you said that?
Cried. All right. He looked like he was about to cry. I felt so bad.
I mean, honestly, fuck that guy.
No, I mean, his eyes could burn a hole through my pants. Like I was like, stop looking at my
Ugh.
non-existent ass. Like
Yeah,
there's
that's
nothing there
disgusting.
to see. Yeah, that was weird. I have like things like that, or like I'll pick up on new people. Like I can kind of like I call myself like a human vibe check. Like I don't need like I can like just look at someone like, oh, I don't like them. And they're like, oh, I like them. I was like, And then like a little later on, they're like, oh, that person's kind of fucked up. And I went,
Yeah, I told you. Yeah,
yeah, I
yeah,
hate to be
yeah,
like the
yeah.
I told you so person, but I do kind of be like, ooh. I tend to like clock people's like ulterior motives rather quickly.
Yeah, that's
Which is
amazing.
crazy because typically, like, I have autism. A lot of people with autism are perceived to be naive. and gullible. And like I see that, I do, like, especially in myself, but other times there are like I can sense that there's just not something right about them. And I wonder if that's pattern recognition due to my disability or if it's like something bigger. And I like to think that I have superpowers. So.
And I think like the reputation for autism is that you're not in touch with vibes at all. Like it's the opposite of that. And so it's really fascinating. And I think really probably good for people to hear that that's not always how things manifest.
It's weird because I can't tell if somebody's hitting on me and I can't tell if I'm flirting with somebody at all. But I'm like, you know what? They're weird. Like, I don't like their, I was like, they look like they're mean to cats, you know? And that's just like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
he's like, you know what? That just shoot, like, I'll be like, oh, that guy just looks like he beats his wife. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like, there's some people that there's like a darkness about them.
Oh, absolutely. My last dog was so friendly and loved all people. And then we were in a bodega and she was hiding behind my legs when this guy was like, "Oh, that's a pretty pit bull." And I was like, "Oh, this guy has done some really
Sucks.
fucked up shit to dogs."
Yeah.
And she just like knew it intuitively. And I
Mm-hmm.
was like, I mean, this guy seems weird, but like, why is he any worse than the other weirdos in this place? So it's
My
like,
dad's dog was like that.
your dad's
There
dog
was,
was like that?
yeah, so he has the two goldens that I mentioned earlier that hate the house, the neighbor's house. But they, my stepmom, are having like, we're the kind of white people that throw dog birthday parties. So we we're throwing them a birthday party, and my stepmom brought her, like, invited her friend and then her friend's husband. And his, this dude looked like a cop. Do you know what I mean? Like, he had like the ugly polo golf shirt on and like the crew cut. And they were so, they're such a bad couple. But she, the dogs hated that guy. They would not go near him. They were freaked out by his mere presence. And they're golden retrievers. Like, the golden retrievers can't hate anybody. You know what I mean? They're like stage five clingers. Anyone will pet them, they're happy to be there. But they would avoid that guy. Like, they would run and hide. They would not go anywhere near him.
I do think that there's an intuition that is potentially covered up by, I don't know, like we're taught these manners and rules on how to behave as humans, and I think that sometimes that gets in the way of our own intuition. And if you can find a way to harness it anyways, that's wonderful, 'cause we are like animals. We are animals and they have it and we have it too. I just yeah, it seems like you're more in tune than the average person.
I try to be. I feel like, especially because I do have like autism, if I rely on my gut a lot more because I can't always, like, my brain thinks differently. So like I listen to my little gut. I don't know.
That's great. I
But
love that. I love the way that this conversation took a turn and we talked about autism, which is something that I haven't really talked about on this podcast in relation to spirituality and stuff. So that's really cool. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we do plugs and that kind of stuff?
I don't think so. I think I'm all ghosted out. I got all my.
Cool. Well, Abigail, tell people where they can find you on the internet, find your comedy, plug anything you want to plug.
Oh, awesome. So my Instagram is Abigail.Elias22. I think I forgot my TikTok. TikTok doesn't like me anyway, so it's all right.
I know what you mean. Well, thank you so much
Cool.
for doing the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you liked this episode and you like this show, please rate and review it wherever you get your pods. That'll help other people find it and help the show grow. Also, you can follow me at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Threads. Is that my Threads name? Yeah, it is. I'm on Threads right now. Emily MC Winter on Threads and Instagram. That's it. I hope you have a great day.